No niin, pelataan tää läpi ja hankitaan sulle enkusta E.
Okei.
Okay. Ja jos ei nappaa, niin Word Drive antaa rahat takas. Okei, okay, valmiina?
Joo.
Ja alkaa. Käännä kestävyys.
Resistance.
Melkein. Tää on sun final boss.
Resilience.
Yes, hyvä.
Woohoo! Word Diven abikurssin avulla treenaa tehokkaasti enkun kirjoituksiin. Enkusta E tai rahat takaisin. Tsekkaa lisää abikursseista worddive.com.
Henri Laukka ja Janne Aslak-Räsänen. Soittakaa Paranoid. Oikein mukavaa maanantaita ja tervetuloa hyvin erikoisen Soittakaa Paranoid podcast-jakson pariin. Minä olen Henri Laukka ja tämä jakso on erikoinen siinä mielessä, että se toimitetaan pääasiassa englannin kielellä. Tämä johtuu siitä, että tässä jaksossa haastateltavana ruotsalaisesta metallimusiikista ja omasta orkesteristaan on kertomassa Helsingborgissa vuonna 1995 perustetun Soilwork-orkesterin solisti Björn Speedstreet. Mä muistan jollain tapaa jopa haikein tai ehkä enemmänkin nostalgisin mielin 2000-luvun alun ja ruotsalaisen melodisen death metallin rantautumisen omaan elämääni. At the Gates, Dark Tranquility, In Flames ja eritoten tämä aiemmin mainittu Soilwork näyttelivät tuossa maihin nousussa suoranaisessa tasokkaan ja rajoja rikkovan metallin hyökyaalossa omaan sieluuni ja sydämeeni niin sanotusti täysillä iskevää tikaria. Göteborg Sound. Siinä on käsite, joka kantaa vielä tähänkin päivään asti. Periksi antamatonta, taipumatonta junttausta, joka Soilworkin kohdalla sekoittaa onnistuneesti samaan pataan melodiset kitarariffit, panteramaisen tykittelyn ja puhdasta skriimiä ja niin sanottua örinälaulua. Täydellinen yhdistelmä, joka iski varsinkin tuohon 15-vuotiaaseen minään kuin salama kirkkaalta taivaalta. Nyt lähes parikymmentä vuotta myöhemmin Soilworkin jätkät ovat jo nelissä kymmenissään. Poislukien bändin viimeisimmän albumin Välik Hetenin nauhoituksia ennen mukaan liittynyt rumpali Bastian Tusgard, joka on alle kolmekymppinen gruuvaava kannuttelija. Soundi bändillä on kehittynyt luonnollisesti vuosien varrella kompleksimpaan ja varttuneempaan suuntaan, mutta bändin äänessä kuuluu ja lavalla näkyy yhä se 2000-luvun ja sitä aiempi kapinahenkinen uho. Orkesterin alkuperäisjäsenistä mukana on enää laulaja ja lauluntekijä Björn Strid ja muut jäsenet täydentävät miehen onnistunutta visiota uudenlaisesta, mutta silti omat juurensa omaavasta ja tunnustavasta Göteborgin soundia edustavasta orkesterista. Bändi kiertää parhaillaan Suomea yhdessä Amorfiksen ja tanskalaisen Möl-orkesterin kanssa lyhyen kiertueen merkeissä. Mä istahdin alas Soilworkin kiertueen bussiin. Ensimmäistä kertaa sekin, jossa minut otti vastaan bändin järkälemäinen, siis oikeasti varmaan parimetrinen ja kauhea karpaasi, mutta kohtelias ja rento laulaja Björn Speedstreet. Kääntäkäämme kieli Lontoon murteelle. Osin ja Lemmyn ja Paranoidin nimeen.
All right people, welcome to a very special episode of Soittakaa Paranoid podcast. Which is a podcast that we do here in Oulu with a friend of mine who isn't right now here. We talk about rock music, metal music, everything in between, you know, guitar making and stuff like that. And now it's a special Swedish metal or Gothenburg metal episode with Björn Speedstreet of Soilwork. Nice to have you, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
Hey, it's been about a year since you released your newest album. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Verligheten.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep. All right. Verligheten. Yeah. So, about a year with a new album. How has it been for you, the year playing it around the world?
Yeah, I think it's been really good. We're really happy about the album. I think it's better than the previous one, and I don't know. It just has some of that old school soul work in it, but also with sort of like a new, refreshing touch to it. With I think a bit more sort of like classic heavy metal influences in there as well. Mm. Sort of blackened heavy metal, I guess you could say. And I think it's been really a lot of fun playing those songs live too. Because I think it works out really well, and the crowd seems to enjoy it. And I mean, we've even had songs like Stålfågel, where we actually had to put that as the encore instead of Stabbing the Drama, which we've always had as an encore ever since we released that album. And but we noticed how Stålfågel had more like a better reaction than even Stabbing the Drama. So we you know, that's the first time, you know, we've done that.
Yeah, and you actually re-released the song on the double single, which had the Feverish and the one where it was featured by the singer of Arch Enemy.
Yes, Alyssa. Yeah.
Yeah. How did that come to be?
Well, I mean, from the beginning, it was planned to actually be on the album, but you know, certain things came in the way, so to speak, and we decided to release the version with only me on it. But of course, we wanted to do something out of it because Alyssa's performance was fantastic, you know. So I'm only glad that it's out now, and you know, and it came out together with Feverish as well. So I think it was a, you know, good timing as well. But it's definitely one of those songs that people really enjoy and works out really well live. And we always had, there's of course that challenging last note in the song as well, which I have to pull off every night. So that's always interesting if I can pull it off or not. I mean, I usually can unless I get sick, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. But it's cool. It's a challenge, and I think this new album, you know, I think we found a new recipe, even though it sounds like soil work, you know, but there's something new in there for sure.
Yeah, there are the roots of soil work right there. And it's been about, what, close to 25 years since you started. And, you still have that same stuff there, even though you and Peter are the only ones who are from that era of soil work.
Well, Peter's no longer in the band. I mean, it's only me and Sven. Sven came in 2001, so... if we're gonna get into, you know, detail, I mean, I'm the only surviving member, I was gonna say, but Sven came in at a very early stage of the band too. So it's and I think, you know, the lineup changes have been very good for us. You know, I think it's only natural if you start growing up with a band, you spend, you know, 20 years, you know, of course there's going to be a lot of things happening. You know, I was 16 when I started the band, and now I'm 40. And I'm not, you know, the same person, you know, and you know, people, you know, they get kids, raise a family, and find other priorities in life, which is very understandable, you know. There are definitely times when I wake up in the tour bus asking myself, what the hell am I doing here, you know. Yeah. It happens, so, you know, I get it. But it's only been a natural process in the end, and I think we've been lucky enough to have people coming into the band that brought something new to the table, you know, like David Anderson, who writes a lot of stuff, you know.
About half of the songs on Velgheten were written by him, right?
Yeah, and me, I wrote the other half, so to speak. But I mean, that's nothing that was sort of planned out. I mean, everybody writes songs in the band, but this time around it was just me and David, you know. And who knows, next album might be, you know, all of us. So, you know, there's no contract or anything saying who can write songs and who can't. So, yeah. But I think, you know, with addition with new members, I think that's been something good for us, and we managed to stay true to our roots, which we haven't forced. You know, I think there's a formula, like a foundation lying there, and I think we've been lucky enough with people coming into the band that understands that, you know, but it's, they don't feel held back, you know, at the same time. It's like, oh, this is how soul work sounds, so I need to stick to that. But I think there's like a mutual understanding what it is we want to do with the band, and that we're able to develop our sound a lot, you know, and find new ways to express ourselves. So it's interesting, and it's really cool that we can still do that, you know. We can still create music that will have, you know, some kind of impact on the metal scene, you know. I think it sticks out, even though in many ways it's sort of traditional, but there's just some extra sort of spark to it that and the element of surprise, I think, is always in there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a turning point in the band
around before The Living Infinite was released. You kind of took on the well, if you talk about composing and making songs and stuff like that, you took, on that album you took on the main songwriter's cape or the burden. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, I mean, I sort of picked up the guitar again because I was a guitarist from the beginning, and I really became a singer out of coincidence, really. But then, you know, that was the time when Peter quit for the second time, and it was rough, you know. And but somehow it sort of sparked me to sort of, you know what, you know, we can still do this, you know. And that's when also David joined, and Sylvain had already joined before that for the Panic broadcast, and I felt that, you know, we could create something special, and I think we needed a challenge, and especially with you know, The Living Infinite. It was a double album, you know. It's just kind of crazy to approach. Yeah, you know, let's just write a double album, you know. Peter quits, let's write a double album. That's what we're going to do. You know, it's kind of a crazy idea, but I think that's something that we needed to go through to sort of reinvent ourselves as well, you know. And I think we found sort of our new era through that album, and we rediscovered ourselves as songwriters too. So I think it was crucial. That album.
By the way, if anyone listening wonders what that hissing noise on the back is, we're on your tour bus right now, and
yes,
it's the door. People are walking in and out. It doesn't matter, because I always like a bit of ambience in the podcast. Yeah. You know, it's a living word. World. Well, yeah. You need all the sounds.
Yeah.
Kansalaiset, soittakaa Paranoid.
The Living Infinite was a double album, as you said, and you kind of reinvented yourself. Between that and Velikheten, there was, of course, The Ride Majestic and some compilation albums or stuff like that. So you've been busy, and I think the level of the work you've done since then has been steadily increasing, you know. You haven't stopped on your feet. You've kept running and getting better all the time.
Well, thank you. And yeah, I mean, that's how we feel too, you know. I think The Ride Majestic was very dark and sort of, you know, it's just a heavy album to do for various reasons. And then I feel that Velikheten is still very melancholic and dark, but it's also a bit more uplifting somehow, you know. It has more of a nice balance to it, you know. But I think, yeah, we've kept it on a very good level, you know, and obviously Dirk leaving for Megadeth as well, and then having Bastian join the fold, I think he brought a whole new dimension too, you know. And the vibe in the band is really, really good. So, and then that means a lot, you know, because after all, we're doing quite a bit of touring still, you know. It's easy to sit at home and write a record and don't tour, but if, you know, it's really on the road where it happens, and then that's where you play the songs and that's where you hang out. So I'm very happy to say that the vibe is really good, and I'm not lying one bit, I promise. Yeah.
How does it work in a band that's been around for so long, and it's a part of you? When someone has to leave for one reason or another, and you have to find someone else there, it doesn't just happen by snapping your fingers.
No, it doesn't.
How does it work in the real world, you know?
Well, I mean, it is like a relationship too, that's sort of ending, you know. And when Peter quit the band, I mean, we started the band together when we were still, you know, kind of teenagers, you know. So of course that, you know, it takes time to heal, you know, as with everything else. So it is a loss, you know. But then, as with everything, you need to turn it into something good in the end, and there's no use just sitting around and, you know, wondering why. And I mean, you need to go through sort of like a little bit of a mourning process, you know. But since, you know, like I mentioned before, I was very lucky to meet David, you know. That was sort of a coincidence too, and I think he became my musical mentor in many ways as well, and encouraged me to become a better guitarist too and a songwriter. So it's so that was there was light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and there usually is, you know. But it's not nothing you take lightly when, you know, people quit. I mean, yes, I mean we've also fired people in the past, and that's not easy either. You know, that's nothing I take lightly, and yeah, it is tough, but yeah. You know.
But it's all about the chemistry and
yeah, I mean, yeah. The chemistry needs to work, and we need to work towards some kind of a mutual vision, you know. So, I mean, it's hard having a relationship with one person for your whole life, you know. And then now, I mean, we're six people in the band, so it is very much like a relationship, you know. Because when you're on tour, you live so closely, and you can really tell what the person is made of, you know, in the end. So and but it's also of course about accepting differences too, you know. It's not, you can't always expect another person to always act like you picture it in your mind, you know. And that's where you live and learn, for sure.
Everybody has secrets and kind of a side, yeah. that they don't want anyone else to see.
No, of course there's that too, yeah.
Yeah, one thing that I wanted to talk to you about was, or is, the Swedish metal scene. Because right now we're right next to Oulu, which is kind of, or was a metal capital of Finland.
Really?
In a sense, yeah. Mm. Yeah, at one point of my life, there were so many great, you know, black metal and melodic death metal bands coming out of here. And back when you started, in 1995, there was this new thing that emerged called the Gothenburg sound, and you were one of the first bands who got into that and started doing the melodic death metal from Helsingborg and Gothenburg as well. So, if we talk about soil work in that setting, compared to it right now. Mm. How was it to start a band back then? I mean, you obviously started with some cover bands of bands that you loved to listen that time, or you took inspiration from them, but inventing your own sound, that's always like, that's a goddamn eternity project too.
Yeah. No, I always wanted to write my own stuff. I never really felt that, you know, I wanted to play any covers, anything like that. But it, I mean, of course, you had so many influences, and you know, at the time, you know, growing up in the 90s, and of course, I was very much into the rising, you know, sort of scene of Gothenburg. And we formed in Helsingborg, and there was not that much going on there at the time. But you know, so of course, we took a lot of influence from the Gothenburg scene. But I think from the start, we just didn't want to be another melodic death metal band. I think we had a vision to do something, create something on our own as well. And because we listen also to like, you know, Strapping Young Lad, the City album, when that came out, that was something very unique. And I think that also influenced us. And then, of course, Carcass, Heartwork was very big for us. And but also traditional, you know, heavy metal stuff. So I think we really aimed to create our own beast in the beginning. And looking back, it doesn't sound that much different from everything that came from Gothenburg. But that was sort of our, you know, goal, you know, to create something different, something that stuck out. And I think we did, you know, through the years, after all. And especially when we came out with Predator's Portrait and also Natural Born Chaos, they were sort of a little bit ahead of their time in many ways, you know. And when it was released, it got really good reviews, but it didn't really seem that people really picked up on it until maybe 5-10 years after that, you know. And influenced a whole sort of metalcore scene in America too, which is really cool, you know. So I mean, it was different back then, you know. I think it was also different because you were younger, you know, and of course it was things were not as accessible as it is now, you know, with streaming and everything. Yeah. So there was a bit more of a quest to find that band, you know, that new band or that new album, you know. It was not as easy, and you had your local record stores and people from other bands were hanging out there too, and there was sort of like a communication that doesn't really exist in the same way anymore, you know. Everything happens through social media, you know, basically. Mm. But then again, when you go to Gothenburg, which happens every now and then, it's all those metal musicians from back then, you know. From back when the scene was really sort of boiling, you know, and they're still hanging out, you know, together at bars and watching soccer at Saturdays, you know. Yeah. And I love to go there and be a part of that too, even, you know, because we got to know all those people, you know, In Flames, Dark Tranquillity, and we're all good friends. So it's really cool that there still is sort of like a community, you know, even though it's more about beer drinking and watching soccer.
Yeah. So are those the kind of situations where you don't talk about music with those guys? You talk about the soccer and you drink some beer.
Well, I mean, I'm sure. We talk about music too, you know, but it's not in the maybe same way. I mean, it's more about everyday life, I guess, too, you know. So it's cool.
Yeah. Have you keep an ear out for new bands from that area of Sweden or Swedish metal bands in general nowadays?
I mean, the scene nowadays is way more diverse, you know, if we talk about metal. It used to be sort of, there was a lot of bands. If you were a Swedish metal band, it was like either like heavy metal or it was like melodic death metal, basically, when, you know, in the late 90s and maybe early 2000s. But the scene is just so much more diverse, and there's so many bands. It's impossible to keep track of everything, you know. But there's a band from Helsingborg that sounds very promising called Cronus. They actually did a few dates with us in Finland last time we were here.
Okay.
But they're only like 22, 23 years old, and really like fantastic musicians and a great live band already. So I'm very impressed by that, and very cool stuff, you know, very progressive and yeah. So there's hope.
Yeah, there's hope, and that's a great thing, because one reason I wanted to bring this up was, well, as I mentioned, always the metal capital of Finland, and here the metal scene has kind of gone underground.
Yeah.
It's not that on the top and near, even near the mainstream anymore. It's no. Underground right now. But in Sweden, it's like, as you said, it's diverse. There's so much of it. And it's, well, if you talk about bands like Amaranth, for example, yeah, it's really mainstream,
yeah,
metal band. So you've kind of, again, because Sweden, Finland rivalry, blah, 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 and it's like that. You've again gone up and over us and grown over us, and it's kind of a sad thing for Finnish metal too.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't really see it that way, because I mean, I feel that, you know, Finland is still the biggest, you know, metal country in the world, and it's more sort of constant. Sweden is a bit more wavy with trends and stuff, you know, and Finland, it's more like, you know,
that it's all
there's that
there.
Signature sound that never really disappears. It doesn't change that much. And somehow it just works, you know. And to us, it's almost like nostalgic. There's something nostalgic about when you hear Finnish music sometimes, you know, and it doesn't really change that much, you know. It's like, of course, Amorphis they've changed through the years, but there's that like core, you know, that
the Kalevala thing.
Yeah, there's still, and I feel that with a lot of bands coming from Finland, and it might look sort of boring, you know, in a way on paper that they never really change, but they do. But it's in such a, I don't know, tasteful way, I think. So. But I mean, isn't metal here mainstream?
Yeah, it's kind of mainstream, but it's gone from the melodic death metal. It's gone from that to, you know, the
heat chorus death metal stuff like well Amaranth and for example Amorphis, who are playing with you here tonight, or you are playing with them, I don't know which way it goes, but well anyway, it's gone from, you know, the melodic death metal stuff to that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's me and if I'm the one who's making the separation of the two things. I don't know if it's me, but well, I grew up listening to you and In Flames and At the Gates and and Dark Tranquility and well, Sentenced, who are here from Oulu, and bands like that. So I grew up listening to them. So maybe it's me who's making the, you know, separation.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. It's kind of hard to sum it up, you know. But I mean, I think we're lucky living in the north where metal seemed to be pretty accepted, you know, in general.
Yeah. One thing, if Oulu is the heavy metal capital of Finland and Helsingborg is kind of the heavy metal capital of Sweden.
No, I would say Gothenburg or Stockholm, but I don't know, because I don't know, because I love the Stockholm scene too that came out, you know, in the early 90s. Dismember just, you know, reunited as well, and Dismember is one of my absolute favorite bands. So it's hard to say. I mean, it's either Stockholm or Gothenburg. But there was always exchange there. There was not that much rivalry, you know, between those cities, even though they were sounding fairly different, you know.
That's maybe one thing that separates Finnish people from Swedish people, or inside the metal scene, because I feel that there's kind of, not a rivalry, but kind of, you know, envy. If someone, like, for example, Amorphis, they've gone and they are successful outside of Finland. There's kind of envy to them from some other bands in the scene. I feel like that. So
it exists in Sweden too, you know, and I think we grew up on that kind of stuff too, you know. If people start making it and you know, people always have the picture of them being sort of a little, how can I say, a little cocky about it, you know, because, but it's about envy in the end, I think, you know. But I mean, I grew up thinking that, because that was sort of like the climate in Sweden at the time, you know, growing up in the 70s and 80s, that, you know, don't think you're anybody special, you know.
Yeah.
You're just like everyone else, which can be sort of like a beautiful thing, but it can also be sort of, I don't know.
For an artist, it can be hard to...
Discouraging.
Yeah, discouraging. Yeah. Even if you make beautiful music, you don't want anyone else to hear it, because it's just music. It's normal stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that, yeah. When was the... moment in the history of Soilwork that you realized that now you've made it, now you're a successful band, and now people want to listen to your music?
I think it maybe might have been with Stabbing the Drum. I mean, that's where things really happened, and we did Ozzfest, you know, for 2 months, and you know, I could watch Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden play every day for 2 months. It was just surreal, and you know, you saw Ozzy running around in the corridor and Bruce Dickinson. It was just surreal, the whole thing. But I think that's when it's like, wow, this is the real deal, you know.
Mm. Yeah, and it still carries to this day.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And anyway, you've got a bit of a tour going here in Finland. You were in Hämeenlinna, and now you're doing Kempele or Oulu, whichever. They're so close together that they're almost the same city, really.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And a few gigs after this. What happens after that to Soilwork? You've gone for a year with the new album, and do you already, are your fingers itching for the guitar?
Not yet. I mean, I have some basic ideas, but I haven't really gotten into it that much. So I think it'll take a while. You know, I think we'll do a bunch of shows next year as well. Maybe some summer festivals, maybe something in the spring, we'll see. But This is about it for this year. I've been touring all the way till Christmas, 2 years in a row, so it's actually going to be nice to have most of December off. Mm. So, yeah, I'll try to enjoy that.
And time with the family and
yeah, it'll be nice.
Yeah, all right. Hey, Björn, this was nice. This was really, really good.
Absolutely.
I'm going to hit the stop button now and you have a good gig.
Okay, thank you so much.
Janne Aslakki ja Laukan Henkka, soittakaa Paranoid.
Noni, pelataan tää läpi ja hankitaan sulle enkusta E.
Okei. Okay.
Ja jos ei nappaa, niin Word Drive antaa rahat takas. Okei, okay, valmiina?
Joo.
Ja alkaa. Käännä kestävyys.
Resistance.
Melkein. Tää on sun final boss.
Resilience.
Yes, hyvä.
Woohoo!
Word Diving abikurssin avulla treenaa tehokkaasti enkun kirjoituksiin. Enkusta E tai rahat takaisin. Tsekkaa lisää abikursseista worddive.com.